Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
We have been talking about what it means to hear the voice of God. And as we were really towards the end of last year, beginning to prepare for this year and what we wanted this first season of the year to be, where we really sit into a message and where we lean into it with our life groups, we started talking about what it means to have a church who knows how to hear the voice of God for themselves. How it is, I believe, one of the most critical things that we can begin to learn is to know that it's not just a select or an elect group of people that get to hear the voice of God, but that it's available to every single believer. That the ability to hear from God and to know that God speaks to you, that God comes to you, and that He wants to be involved in what you're doing is available for every believer, and all of the comfort and all of the strength and all of the direction that it brings. I also happen to believe that it's easier to lead a church with a group of people who know how to hear from God than a group of people who are always just dependent on someone else as well. And we walked into it knowing that sometimes there are challenges and barriers. And I just wanted to start off this morning sharing with you some of the stories that we've been hearing from people, whether that's through life groups or sharing in about how they've heard the voice of God. This one comes from someone that says, one of the guys in our men's group started off this season frustrated that he hadn't heard from God and that he often felt forgotten. During week two, the other men in his group prayed for him that he would hear from God. And that week, for the first time, he heard from God for himself. Someone else said one of the ladies in our group had been carrying frustration for many years and disappointment of not hearing from God. She started off this season pressing in and determined. And she gave this to God, saying, God, I don't know what else to do with this, but I can't hear from you, and I'm handing it over to you. And this past week, I received a call that she heard from God in a way that she recognized for the very first time and knew that God was speaking to her. Another one of our guys shared that he realized while he was in his life group that God had always been speaking to him. And as we went through the material on the different ways that God speaks to us and the different ways that we can hear from God, all of a sudden he recognized in his group that God has been speaking to him and is now aware of God's voice in his life. I just have a couple. I actually have a ton more, but I just have a couple more for you this morning. We heard from a married couple who have been praying about something specific in their life. And God spoke to them separately the same thing. And so when they came back together, they had confidence that God was speaking to them in their life and of what they were to do next. Last one for right now. It says that we have a member who has been in a relationship that was not God-honoring. And throughout this series, God spoke to them twice about it. And that it was time for them to begin to walk away from that relationship. 2 weeks ago, they began moving out, and they have left a relationship that has been unhealthy for them because God spoke to them. I want you to know that God is a speaking God. That He is speaking and that He desires to speak into your life. He desires to be involved in the decisions of your life. That I continually believe the question is not, is God speaking? But the question is, are we listening? Today is our final week of our series together. This week, groups will meet together for their last time before they serve in Go Local together. So today, I want to talk to you from the idea that when God speaks, it will often disrupt what we had in mind. I hope that you are prepared to be disrupted if you are listening to the voice of God. Will you turn with me to the book of Acts? We're going to look today at the book of Acts, starting in chapter 9. Starting in chapter 10, verse 9, and it reads like this. It says, "The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop at about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry, and he wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance, and he saw the heavens opened, and something like a great sheet descending, and it let down by its four corners upon the earth. And in it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.' And the voice came to him a second time, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' And this happened three times, and the thing was taken up to heaven. I was taken up at once to heaven." God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the direction that it gives us. We thank you that it is living and active, and that it is here to bring us direction for our right now and for our today. We ask you, Lord, to speak, for your servants are listening. I am a person who likes order. I am a person who likes routine. I am a person who likes to know what is coming next. I think that there is great power in habit. I want to build a life that is in many ways incredibly predictable. If we're going to be spontaneous, I would prefer if you give me 24 hours notice that spontaneity is coming sometime tomorrow. I would like to pencil in and add onto my calendar a 4-hour window where spontaneity is likely to happen. I think that there is great strength in making sure that we are repeatably and predictably doing things so that people know that they can depend on us. I think God is a God of order. One of the things we see God doing, one of the first ways he introduces himself to us, is that he is creating order where there is no order. Yet at the same time, it seems like God also enjoys disrupting the order from time to time. It seems like he enjoys establishing order so that he can interject into the order and disrupt it. At the same time, he is a God of order and a God of disruption. And how do we know if he is coming to us in order or coming to us in disruption? I would say that the reason that God disrupts is very different from just any form of disruption. When God disrupts, he disrupts with a purposeful disruption. There is a reason for the disruption he is bringing. There are unnecessary disruptions in our life that come. Sometimes there are some of us that are just disrupting things for the sake of disrupting things. We're so used to and so comfortable with chaos or with disorder that when things become orderly for too long, or when things begin to take a form and a structure, it becomes uncomfortable to us because it's not what we have been used to. And so just for the sake of creating disruption, and just for the sake of creating chaos where there is order, we begin to disrupt the order of what's happening, not for purpose and not for intentional outcome, but just simply for the purpose of creating a disruption. There is reckless disruption. Disruption that comes at the cost of order. Disruption that comes at the cost of where something is going. Disruption that creates reckless outcomes. There is a reason that it is illegal for you to stand up in a crowded public place and yell fire when there is no fire. It would be reckless, disruptive to a reckless outcome. God is not unnecessary in his disruptions, and God is not reckless in his disruptions. God disrupts the order for a purpose. Sometimes disruption to the order is necessary so that we can come to a new order. When this order no longer works, when this order no longer functions, when this system, when this process, when this habit is no longer producing the desired outcome or has come to its end, a disruption to that order becomes necessary so that a new order can be laid. Peter is in the middle of a necessary, purposeful disruption. Peter is a man who has been raised in the Jewish faith, and for everything that we read and understand about him has been faithful in his following. He becomes a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus. And among the disciples, he comes to be part of the 12 that Jesus would establish as his leaders of his disciples, and in fact would call to be the apostles that would establish his church. And out of those 12 even, Peter gets called up, and before he leaves, Jesus clearly installs and establishes Peter as chief among those apostles, the one who would lead the way in establishing this new way of living and this new thing that would come to be called Christianity. Peter is chief among all of them. Peter was likely among the eldest of all of the disciples and the apostles. We know that he was married, and when Jesus goes to pay the tax, it seems that he and Peter are the only two who need to pay the tax, likely because of their age. Peter is now leading the church and going in this direction and has been faithful to the end in all of the things that he has been raised in and taught in. And that would include the things that he eats. I get really fascinated about food. Thank you. I've gotten really into, this is ridiculous, but I've gotten really into this channel that I found where this guy goes and he finds like a typical meal of all the different presidents that we have ever had and some of the first ladies. And then he walks you through like what they would have eaten in a day from like while they were in the White House. We have the old White House menus. It is the nerdiest thing I am into at the moment. But it's so fascinating because what we eat and the foods that we have tell us a story about who we are. And they tell us a story about the environment that we live in and the values that we have and the priorities. Like, our food is about so much more than just what we're eating. Our food tells us about who we are. We got into a conversation with our life group a few weeks ago, and we were talking about like what are some of your favorite foods, or what are foods that you came up on. And as people shared about their favorite foods or their favorite things to cook and all of that, it starts telling you not just about their taste buds, it starts telling you about where they came from. Phil's favorite snack is a snack that we can't even buy here. It's a thing he grew up on in Australia. And someone else starts sharing about their favorite food, and I'm like, whoa, wait, where are you? Where's your family? Oh, your family's Puerto Rican. That's why that's your favorite food. And someone else starts sharing. We're like, I don't even know what that food is because you're from Ghana. That's why that's your favorite food that I've never even heard of. Someone else is sharing about their food. And I'm like, where are your people from? And oh, your people came from Ireland. That explains all the potatoes in the recipe that you're describing to me. All of the foods that we eat, they don't just tell us about right now. They tell us something about where we've come from. And they tell us something about who we are. And Peter's food tells us something about who he is and where he's come from. As a faithful man raised in Judaism, there were incredibly clear, precise, strict regulations about what food was available for him to eat and what food was considered acceptable and appropriate for Peter to eat. And not only was it about what food made him acceptable before God, and not only was it about what food they would eat at the table, it was also about who they would eat with and who they would share food with and who they would allow to come to the table with them. And God gives Peter a vision of a sheet being stretched out with four corners descending down on the earth, representing to Peter the four corners of the earth. Now, the Bible is not a geography book. It is not making a statement about the physical composition of the earth, but is rather speaking in a language. I'm grateful for a God who speaks in a way that I understand it and will speak to Peter in a way that makes sense to him. And as it descends on the four corners of the earth, it has every kind of animal in it. And God says, get up and eat. And Peter presumably thinks this is a test. And he's like, not a chance, God. I never have and I never will. And God's like, get up and eat. And Peter's like, nope, I told you. Never have, never will. Standing on it. Third time, Peter, get up and eat. And Peter's like, never have, never will, God. And God's like, why do you keep calling things unclean that I have called clean? What is this? Because Peter is in an in-between moment in his life. He's in a space in his life where he knows Jesus. He's seen the resurrected Lord. He's leading the charge of establishing the way of the followers of Jesus. But he also has been trained in some habits along the way. He also has been trained in some thinking along the way. He also has found his identity in some things along the way. And old habits break hard. And old mindsets hold on for a long time. Have you ever found yourself in an in-between place where you're like, I'm not really who I used to be, but I also have not become who I now am. I'm not really this crazy, angry person anymore because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but also I don't know that I have a renewed mind all the way that trusts that I can believe in God to fight my battles for me. There's a part of me that still is a little bit trained in the way of who I used to be. And so even though the anger doesn't hold me like it used to, and even though I know I've been saved and that he holds me in the palm of his hand, at the same time, if you come against me, there might be some fists that go flying. Because my habit has been that I have to fight my battles. My way of thinking and understanding has been that no one else is fighting for me, so I have to defend myself. I'm not who I used to be, but at the same time, I haven't all the way established the habits of who I have become. And Peter finds himself somewhere in the middle, where God gives him a vision, a picture of what he is doing. He is disrupting Peter's paradigm and his understanding of what it means to be holy, of what it means to be righteous, of what it means to honor God with your life. Look at this next verse. It says, and now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision was that he had sent might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made an inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate. Peter is perplexed. Has God ever sent you a perplexing word? A word that you're like, what was that, Jesus? I don't know. It is so disruptive to the way that Peter has been living, and it is so out of the context of where he has come from that Peter is not clear. We can look back on it in hindsight, and we are clear that God is disrupting Peter's ordered understanding to establish a fresh order. But Peter doesn't have the luxury of looking at it in hindsight like we do. Peter is standing there perplexed as to what God is speaking to. He is confused about what this message possibly means. He doesn't understand what it is, the message that God has just given to me. He's clear that he's heard from God. He knows that this vision has come from God. He knows that God has spoken to him and is speaking to him, but he has no idea what this message means. Says he is inwardly perplexed. And when we hear a perplexing message from God, a disruptive message from God, I think the important thing that Peter does that we should follow suit on is that he doesn't reject it just because he doesn't understand it. It's so easy to hear a word from God, and when it doesn't fit into the way that I thought my life was going, or when it doesn't fit into the way that I thought things were going to turn out, or when it makes a disruption to where I thought I was going, we just reject that message and go, well, that must not have been from God, or maybe I didn't hear that the way I thought I was, or maybe it was just because I was so hungry up there on top of that rooftop that I got this message from God. But Peter doesn't reject it. He keeps listening. When we hear a perplexing message from God, we should not reject it. Rather, we should keep listening. What will God say next? What else is he saying to me? What else is he speaking to me? What else is God going to reveal about this thing that he speaks? Because the next thing that God tells Peter is that he tells them, hey, there's some men downstairs who have come for you. I want you to go with them. God doesn't give him clarity as to what he meant. He gives him clarity on what to do next. And Peter keeps listening. And then we should pay attention to what comes next. Pay attention to what comes next, and pay attention to who comes next. When we hear a perplexing message, when we hear a word from God that is confusing to the place that we have been, when we hear a message from God that disrupts what we thought we've known, we have to pay attention. And when we're paying attention, it's often what comes next and who comes next that will lead us into clarity. And what comes next for Peter is that these men come from the house of Cornelius and they say, Cornelius told us to come to you and to bring you to him. Now, who is Cornelius? At the very beginning of chapter 10, Cornelius also heard a word from God. Cornelius got a vision and a message from God that said, there is a man named Simon Peter who's staying at Simon the Tanner's house in a different city from where you are. You need to hear what he has to say. Go get him. So while Peter is on a rooftop receiving a vision, Cornelius has sent men to retrieve Peter from where he is. Cornelius is a centurion. It means that he is a leader of a regiment of soldiers of 100. Cornelius, we are told, is a God-fearing man who loves who God is and who demonstrates it through his good deeds that he does towards others who fear the name of the Lord. We are told that he is a leader of his household. And Cornelius is a Gentile, which means Cornelius gets to eat what he wants. And Cornelius is told to send for Peter. And so we have this intersection of these two men who have different backgrounds and who have different roles, but both have their own realm of authority, who have heard from God and their words from God are getting ready to come into collision with one another. So these men sent by Cornelius come to Peter and they say, Cornelius told us to come get you and to bring you back to Caesarea with us. So they get up and they go. It's about a day's travel and they come to the place of Caesarea and Peter comes in and it says in Acts 10 and 28, and he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or visit with anyone of another nation. What a warm welcome, Peter. It is good to see you too. But God, there is a disruption and a resetting of the established order that is happening in Peter's life. He is saying, for all of my life, it has been unlawful. It has been uncouth. It has been unacceptable for me to come and associate with or visit with anyone who is not of the same heritage and lineage and of the same way and practices of me. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. He goes on in Acts 10, I think we're going to jump to 34. It says, so Peter then opens his mouth and says, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and who does what is right is acceptable to him. And I want to pause there. Go back. Here's the thing, is that Peter was not clear when he left Joppa why it was that he was going. He was not clear when he first heard the word from God what it was that God was revealing to him. But it was instead on that journey. It was in his walking. It was while he began to take steps to keep listening to God, to keep paying attention to where he was walking him, to keep paying attention to who he was bringing in front of him and where he was taking him and what was happening next. It was along that journey that the message that God was speaking to Peter began to become clear to him. Too often, our lack of understanding, our lack of clarity, our perplexity at what it is that God is speaking holds us in stagnation, and we stand still waiting for the entirety of God's plan, waiting for the entirety of God's message to be clear and to be revealed to us. But it seems to be part of the way that God works, that it becomes clearer as we walk closer and as we continue to take steps of faith in the direction that he is leading us. It was along the way that Peter began to become clear. And as he meets these people and as he says to them, God is revealing to me that I can no longer call anything unclean and no people common and no people unclean who he has called and who he has claimed. He preaches to them a message and reveals to them the message of Jesus, who came to earth and was buried for our sins and resurrected, overcoming death, hell, and the grave. And then in Acts 10 and verse 44, it says, this is what happens. It says, while Peter was still saying these things, can we go back to 44? Thank you much. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. On all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Peter heard a vision and a message from God that entered and disrupted the order that he had been raised and established in. And because he did not reject that message, but began to continue to listen to God and pay attention as he walked the path of God, he preached a message where the evidence of the message that was spoken to him became apparent, that as their hearts were turned towards God, it says the Holy Spirit fell and filled the room and filled the people that just days before Peter had thought were unclean and were unworthy to even be sat at the tables with. But all of the sudden, a disruption comes in through a word of God that sets a new order in Peter's life, understanding that God is not a God of separation, but a God who says, all who are willing to come in and all who would hear my voice can come into this place. This is what I want us to make sure that we grasp on this final installment of this series. That hearing the voice of God ought to move us towards other people and towards a declaration of the name of Jesus. Hearing from God should not move us into a place of isolation and elitism that says that we're over here hearing the voice of God while everything else is happening out there. Hearing the voice of God is about disrupting the paradigms we've been brought up in to reestablish his kingdom purpose and his kingdom order in such a way that it moves us towards those who haven't heard his name yet, that it moves us towards those who are hurting and broken, that it moves us towards those who we wouldn't otherwise find ourselves at tables with, that it moves us outside of the building and into the city, that it moves us outside of our own groups and towards those who don't look like us. The message of God comes and the word of God comes to say that I have called you to be a people not stuck in just what looks like you, and not just what makes you comfortable, and not just what you've been raised in, but the word of God comes to send you out to go after whosoever will hear the name of the Lord proclaimed. That the word of God comes to move you outside, that he didn't come just for an elite group, and he didn't come just for a small sect. He came for every tribe, for every every nation, for every tongue, that everyone, whether they're young or old, whether they look like you or not, he didn't come for one race. He came for every group of people. He didn't come for one nation. He came for every nation to call him and to see him. He didn't come for somebody that just lives on your street. He came for every street across this city. And hearing the voice of God should call us and cause us to be a church that says, I have decided to go after everyone that God has called me, that moves me towards people and moves me into a space of declaring and magnifying his name. Hearing God is not about shrinking your circle. Hearing God is not about proving how holy you are. Hearing from God is always about how it moves us towards other people, how it moves us towards those that God is still waiting to see brought into his family. Those who need encouragement and those who need strengthening and those who need someone to show up and those who are still waiting to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Hearing from God should move us towards other people. That's the kind of church we are. It's the reason we want to tune our ear to what he's saying and what he's doing in every moment. God, I thank you for your people. I thank you that you're speaking. Holy Spirit, move in this room. I thank you that you're filling. Thank you that you're filling your people right now. If you're not sure that you've received an infilling of the Holy Spirit, if you've never spoken in tongues, can you just raise your hands right where you are? I believe the Holy Spirit is moving in this place, that he's filling you right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you fill your people from every tribe and every nation and every tongue and every age and every generation and every race and every background, male and female, that you are filling your people. Thank you, Jesus. God, I speak that we are the type of church that will lift up your name, that will be drawn towards others, that will run after what you're doing, Father God. We declare that your name be lifted up in every way and in every place that we go, Father God. I thank you for words that are coming to people. I thank you for words of knowledge. I thank you for words of wisdom. I thank you for hearts of compassion, Father God. I thank you that you are giving us an anointing, God, to declare your name, to speak your name, to speak the name of Jesus over our city, and to walk into every place waiting and listening. God, what do you want to speak in this place today? God, what do you want to speak to these people today with willing hearts that say, God, use me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.